Good morning. I've been praying for you this week, praying that the Lord would bring just the right amount of people to church this morning, and hoping most of you would be here for candlelight service instead now. But I'm going to go ahead and share my story with you. Yes, although I'm not as nervous as I was first service, so you guys get the better version. As a young child, I can remember comforting myself with a song. I would sing to myself, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I came to know the Lord at an early age, before understanding what a relationship with Him is about. My mother took me to a Catholic church every Sunday, and although ritualistic, the weekly prayer somehow brought me to the Lord. There are many events in my life which brought me to the Lord's feet. My parents were divorced when I was 8 years old, and as I sat in the family sedan weeping, I would sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Again, I sang this song when my father shockingly passed away when I was just 20 years old. Because of the lack of parental direction, living in a single alcoholic parent home, and possible hereditary illnesses, I have battled with depression and poor choices in my life. The truth is that Jesus loves me, this I know. Most recently, the Lord brought me to my knees in a profound way, a loss that ran so deep to my core that the story around this tragedy cannot explain the deepness of the pain, a loss which is as great as losing a parent. I've been in the education field for most of my life. In my early college days, the Lord prompted me to take a course in early childhood field. I strongly believe to this day the Lord took me on this path to become a better parent to four children and to give me the knowledge of parenting styles and choices. As my oldest entered the early teen years, the Lord brought a special woman into my life that helped direct me to the truth of myself, my past, and my present. She helped me to become a prayerful woman in the Lord, to have acceptance and to learn to give way to others. I learned the meaning of micromanaging and decided others making decisions was helpful to my well-being. Mostly, my marriage of almost 20 years has been a struggle. I must steadily look to the Lord and close friendships for the human desire of personal relationships. Due to this, I made a choice to continue my education some 3 years ago. I so desired to become a teacher and felt this was my calling. I had a picture of what this would look like. I had a plan. I entered into Seattle Pacific University with a goal, to finish with a master's and a teaching certificate. I must admit, I desired a loophole for my life, a way out, I must say. I did not believe at the time that this was wrong, nor did I see it as selfish. My motives were pure and honest. In this picture, I forgot to carefully and prayerfully ask the Lord for guidance. Although I would pray and ask during that time for his guidance, I wasn't listening to him clearly. Although I was a good Christian woman, I could not see that there was a problem in this prayer. At the end of 3 years of schooling and a very large university bill, the Lord gave me his plan, brought me to the floor face down. I did not receive my certificate, and I was told I would not make a very good teacher. This cut to my core. My choice was clear: either follow the Lord or die. My heart was heavy and breaking, and my soul ached. The loss too enormous for me to bear. I was at the lowest of my depression that I could ever be. The Lord had already given me the knowledge of His Word and the deep friendships of those who care for me. If not for this, I could not have made the choice to reach for Him in my deepest despair. I asked, "Do you love me, Lord? Are you there? What is your plan for me?" I could not bear to sing the song, wondering if I was worth loving. Some of us have experienced these feelings at different depths. We learn to sit and wait to hear from Him, what He desires for us, how we can further His kingdom, and to do what is right by the Lord. I waited, prayed, and sought. A major event took place during those 3 years. Our family moved into a 1912 home which needed a full remodel. This, someone would say, "Are you crazy? Do you not have enough to deal with in your life?" Looking back, I believe the Lord blessed me with this house. Not only did He give me the house of my dreams, but He gave me a job to do. This kept my mind and hands busy when I would no sooner stay in bed. Through the past 2 years, I realized the Lord has to be my focus, my main purpose and fulfillment. This experience is more than this. It brought experiences and character development that I have yet been able to explain. I am a more thoughtful person. There are still questions without answers. Answers I may not receive until heaven, but to the core of my being, I have an understanding of the strength and perseverance the Lord can give us. I also have a job now, which is a dream job for me, a job I would never have applied to if it was not for my experiences. I work as the Director of Education for the Stillaguamish Tribe of Indians, helping their children succeed with their education. To whom shall we seek when in the depths of pain and suffering? The Lord is sufficient for all our needs. Only go to Him, and He has the plan. We can count on Him for the best. And I still sing for comfort a song, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our junior high and high school group with Pastor Duke and send you guys upstairs with him if you'd like to. And then I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you change people's lives like Teresa and help her to understand how much you love her, even from a very early age. And I pray this morning that you may continue to teach us about your love as we look in your word. We thank you for it and for your son. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on in our series, A Tax Collector's Take on the Good News, right out of the book of Matthew. And this morning I've entitled this part, Speaking on Prayer. And this is the second part of Speaking on Prayer. Last week we looked at prayer from Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And this morning we're looking at Matthew 6, 9 through 15. It just happens to be the Lord's Prayer. I'd like to read this out loud. If you could follow with me on the side screens or in your Bibles, I'd appreciate that. This then is how you should pray. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I've broken this down into some sections that look at, first of all, how to pray, and then the actual prayer itself, and then the last part of this passage on forgiveness in prayer. I want to do a little review from last week. Remember, Jesus said in verses 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew 6, when you pray. Not if you pray, not if you feel like it, pray. But he's saying, when you pray. It's part of who we are as Christ followers. It's talking with God. Now, some of us aren't quite sure what that means. You know, or is it okay to get angry with God? You know, yeah, He can handle that. I encourage you, if you're angry with God, tell Him. If you have something going on that you don't like in your world, then tell Him. Now, at the same time, I want to also encourage you, and God's very good at helping us understand these after we tell Him. A lot of times, it's because of the choices that we made that we had a difficulty going on in our lives. You've heard me use the analogy before where the guy was at a bar one night until 2 in the morning drinking as much as he could, and he had one of those old Plymouth Dusters. Just happened to have a bald tires, and it was raining out that night, and he happened to get in that car after, like I said, drinking a little bit too much, and he happened to be going just a little too fast, and there was, you know, a tree at the end of this street or this road where he was going about 80 miles an hour, and he didn't make the turn, and he ran right into that tree. Let's just rehearse what happened for a moment. 2 in the morning, bald tires, wet pavement, been drinking a little bit too much, and there was a curve. So he hit a tree. Now some of you are going, well, that makes sense. Well, not to him. He got angry with God. And he let God know about it. How could you let this happen to me, he says. Imagine that. Now that's not what I'm talking about when I encourage you to say, get angry with God. Because why? Well, yeah, you can still get angry with him, but that man didn't own his own behavior and all the choices that he made that led up to the consequences of running into that tree. God's real good about helping us understand what's going on in our world when we come to him in prayer. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to understand that he loves us. And he loves us enough to do what? To allow us to go through the difficulties in life to help us to do what? To depend on him even more. And that's where prayer comes in. It deepens our relationship with him. It's also all about listening to him in a still small voice. You see, God wants us to be dependent upon him how often? Moment by moment. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, to pray continuously. And the more we do that, the more we're dependent upon him. You know, I could pray right now while I'm talking to you. Do you know that your mind goes about 3 times faster than your mouth? It's a good thing. You know, imagine if it was the other way around. You know, we are able to think and pray, or I should say speak and pray at the same time, because our mind is able to comprehend these different dimensions and so forth. And God wants us to pray continuously throughout the day, depending on him. God, I need your help. I know for me, in the morning, early in the morning, I'll wake up sometimes and I'll pray. I'll just say, Lord, you know, what do you want me to pray about today? Or someone will come to mind. Have you ever had someone come to mind, you know, in the middle of the day or wherever you are, and they could live 2,000 miles away? Usually that's a sign to pray for those people. Just to say, Lord, I give, you know, Aunt Kathy or your sister or your brother or your whoever into your hands. God wants us to pray. Now, the disciples were hungry to pray. You know, there's parallel translations of this passage, the Lord's Prayer, in other parts of Scripture, especially in Luke chapter 11. You know, there's 3 Gospels that are very similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's a little different, but you can get a book called the Synoptic Gospels and actually look at these parallel passages. But there's a translation of this prayer. It's very similar in Luke chapter 11, but there's a little bit different insight that we get from the first 2 verses. It says this in verses 1 and 2. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John, that's John the Baptist, taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say this, and he goes into this prayer that we just read. It's so important to understand that the disciples wanted to learn how to pray. You see, a lot of us, we weren't raised in Christian homes or families where our parents prayed, or they never taught us how to pray, or maybe they taught you how to pray by what I talked about last week, these babbling prayers where you just pray the same thing over and over and over again. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus is talking about here. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is a model for us here. It's not something to pray over and over and over and over again. It's the meaning behind the words that he's asking us to understand. And so, as you look at this, these disciples wanted to know how to pray, so he gives them a model. We also, it's important to understand the purpose of prayer, and Jesus tells us about this in John 14, verses 12 through 14. He tells us this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. He's telling us where he is now, and he's going to do greater things. We're going to do greater things than him. Why? Because he's in heaven, and he's going to answer our prayer, is what he's talking about. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son, and here's why we pray, may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. See, it's not about our power and our strength. It's not about the prayers that we pray that are so important. In other words, that we get the glory. It's about the Son answering the prayers and then God getting the glory. So we pray what? In his name. In Jesus' name. It's so important to take that out of this. Whatever you ask, he says, in my name. You may ask me for anything. In my name, and I'll do it. You know, some of us, we kind of go to God and we have this kind of selfish bent. You know, this, you probably don't pray anything like this, but imagine if you were to pray, you know, God, I'm a little short on cash. Would you give me a gun so I can rob the bank down the street? In Jesus' name. No, of course not. You know, just because you tacked on this Jesus' name thing, that's going to give you the, you know, the right to go rob a bank and it's blessed and you won't get a... No, no. You know, you see, it's all about what? Understanding God's plan and His will and what Scripture actually says. That's why I love people when they say, hey, I'm not sure about this. Could you help me clarify this? If you ever have a question, by the way, I want to encourage you to call. You know, ask questions. Get them out in the open. No question is a dumb question when it comes to God's Word. He wants us to understand it. And the more we read it, the more questions we're going to have. None of us are ever going to understand God's Word completely on this side of eternity. We're going to be so surprised. You know, and that's the beauty about it. It's His living, active Word. And as we get to know Him more, He's going to reveal more and more of Himself to us. And the key is that He wants us to pray in according to His power, according to His will. And this brings glory to God. That's the purpose of prayer here. Now, what about this keeping on praying business? In other words, Jesus wants us to know what? How to pray? He says, I want you to be persistent in prayer. And we take this from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. This is Jesus telling a story now. Then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Let's just talk about the context of the story for a moment. In Jewish culture, they were very hospitable. And so if someone's traveling and they come to your door, you invite them in and you feed them. Now, this man would be embarrassed because he didn't have any food. So he said, I need to go to my neighbor's and grab a few loaves of bread over there. Now remember, it's in the middle of the night. Midnight, actually. He says this. It says, Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, this is just like today. Someone comes to your door and rings your doorbell. Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding. At midnight. Think about this. Oh, what are you doing? You're going to wake the kids up. You know, if you have kids at home like I do with 4 of them, that's an important thing. You don't want to wake the kids up. Like if our 2 little ones are down and my 8-and-a-half-year-old happened to be out later or something with myself or my wife and they come and ring the doorbell, ooh, not a good thing. Because then just after you get the kids down, they get, you know, oh, you know what it's like. The kids are awake. They don't go back to sleep easily, right? Guess what? Same thing 2,000 years ago. They used to sleep on the floor, covered up, in front of the door. Okay? They only had 1 room. Guys knocking on the door. Hey, shh, you're going to wake the kids up. No, we locked the door already. I don't want to have to open it up. And you know, I tell you, though he will not get up, verse 8, and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Well, if he's going to keep knocking, the kids are going to wake up anyway. So the guy finally relents, right? And opens the door. Now, what does this have to do with prayer? Verse 9, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. He's saying, be persistent in prayer. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see, a lot of us get caught up into this mentality. Well, you know, God doesn't answer my prayer. Well, He answers our prayer, but He answers it in 3 ways. He answers it sometimes with a flat no. You're asking out of selfishness. You're asking for your own needs, you know, in a way that, you know, that's not going to be good for you, so I'm going to tell you no. And those of us who know Christ, when God closes the door and He says no on a prayer, we accept that. We say, okay, Lord, I accept Your will for my life in this case. Now, there's another way He answers it sometimes. It's called slow. You know, there's no, and then there's a slow. In other words, I want you to wait. Some of you have been praying for relatives for years to find Jesus Christ. And He says, I want you to continue to pray and continue to ask. And I hear those prayers, and I'm working in their life. It's just like my uncle. When I was back in Chicago this last summer, he said, hey, you know, I'm finally putting the Bible on my reading list. I want to read it as literature. He's a brilliant man. I said, great, you know, and I told him what to get and where to read it, and my aunt calls me up and she got it for him, you know, for a present, and, you know, and it's like, what kind of Bible should I get? And where should, you know, all that. But, you know, I'm so glad that he's going to be reading the Bible. I've been praying for him for a long time that he'll understand what it says and come to know Jesus Christ. Now that's a slow answer to prayer, if you will. Now the other one is, what? Go. In other words, yes. He answers our prayer. That's the third one. God actually says, okay, I hear you, and as a result, here's an answer to your prayer. So he says, first of all, I want you to keep asking. Keep seeking me for this prayer that you have. Keep knocking at that door. Because when you ask, you will be given. When you ask in Jesus' name, like we just looked at, keep on seeking, and he says, and you will find. You know, it's easy to give up. But God says, I want you to continue to depend upon me. And at the right, perfect moment, I will answer that prayer. Keep knocking, and that door will be opened. Trust me. And see, as we trust God, we realize that He is good, that He has our best interests at heart. I mean, a lot of times we blame God, like I said earlier, for things that happen in our lives, and we feel like He let us down. But to be real honest, God never lets us down. He carries us through the storms. He helps us in the midst of them, and then He shows us what He has for us and how He wants to form His image of His Son inside of us. And you know, here's the interesting thing, that in verse 11, He talks about you and I, or let's say fathers in this case. He's saying, although when your son asks you for a fish, of course you're going to give him a fish, or you know, when he's asking you for food, you're going to feed him because you love your son. And He says in verse 13, if you then, though you are evil... Now wait a minute. He's calling us evil? Well, we are. He said, if you are evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, guess what? I'm perfect and holy and set apart. You think I can handle giving you good gifts? He says, you bet I can. He says, this is how I'm going to give you a gift. It's called the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to give you my Spirit. You see, when we receive God's Spirit, what are we receiving? We're receiving God's perspective on life. Think about that as an answer to prayer. God allows us to see things from His perspective, from His eyes, from His vantage point. And when we see the world from His vantage point, what happens? Our prayers begin to change. We go from selfish to selfless. We go from, God, how come you're not, you know, waiting on me hand and foot, to saying, Lord, how can I serve other people in my life? That's a big transition, folks. And it all comes from what? From prayer. From being dependent upon God. And the more we're dependent upon Him, the more we become like His Son. So, those are some tidbits, if you will, on how to pray. Now, let's look at how to pray from the actual prayer, this Lord's Prayer. He starts it off with, Our Father in Heaven. You know, the word is Abba, or Daddy. It's an affectionate, personal term where He's saying, Dear Daddy, I need your help. You know, when I come home from the office, my boys, most of the time, unless they did something that they may get in trouble for, they'll come running down the stairs and they'll give me a huge hug. Even my 8.5-year-old still. I heard that stops when they hit 10, but you never know. So, you know, it's just one of these things where they keep running and they hug me and they, Daddy, Daddy, you know. And I don't know if it's a show thing or whatever, but I like it. It's nice to be greeted that way. And they give me hugs and hit me. But you know, it's so important to remember that our Father is a personal Father. That He cares about us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we speak them. He knows what's going on in our world, and He cares about us. So we start off, and He says, when you pray, remember all that. Remember that He's your Daddy. That He wants to walk with you through this world and this life and all that it brings. And that He loves to hear our voice. He really does. And then He says He's in heaven. He's in a perfect place. He's in a powerful place, and He's in a holy place. He says, holy is your name. He says, you're set apart, God. You're in a world all of your own. And we're trusting you for that. See, again, remember, this is a model prayer. It's to talk to God like He's right there with us, and He is. And then secondly, it talks about saying, God, would your kingdom come? You know, it's a big change of perspective when we go from praying prayers of our own kingdom and trying to form that, you know, corporate America, if only I can climb up the ladder a little bit more, to saying, okay, Lord, I want your kingdom to come on this earth. When you become a kingdom player and you say, Lord, I want your will to be done, you know, in and through my life, and I want to be a part of it because I know I'm going to be dead a lot longer than I'm going to be alive, and I want my life, my one and only life, to count for you on this side of eternity. You know, it's the whole mentality of I'm serving an audience of one. It's like we looked at before. We're not concerned about what other men think about us or what they say about us. And that's hard. Don't get me wrong. I know that's hard. But when we have God's Spirit and we have His perspective, what happens? We can pray, Lord, I want to be your kingdom player and I want your will to be done. And if you want to use me, then I want to be a part of it. So you say, Lord, what do you have for me? I want to serve you. Here I am. Send me. And see, as we understand that, what happens? We actually become these kingdom builders. And we pray a prayer, not my will, but yours, Lord. Like Jesus said, what is it? It's God's will, that His ways may be done, that His plans may come to fruition. Well, how do you do that? Well, we study Romans 12, 1 and 2, especially Romans 12, 2, that says what? It says, be renewed by the transforming of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, how are our minds transformed? How are we renewed? Well, it's by studying God's Word. It's by saying, God, would you help me understand what's here? It's by memorizing it. It's by meditating on it. It's taking some passages of Scripture that mean something to you and thinking about them. You see, the more we memorize and meditate on Scripture, the more we become like Christ. You see, it's His wisdom. He made us and He knows what's best for us, and He put it in this book called B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, and if we say, you know what, I don't really need this owner's manual, I'm going to make my own up. He said, go ahead. God allows us to do that too. But then He said, I'll be waiting over here for you. I'll be waiting for you to come back, because I know you will. Because I know you can't do it on your own. You're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You see, once we understand that it's not about us, that we're not God's gift to mankind, but He's our gift, we want to serve Him. Where? He says, I want your will, God, to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let's look at what's going on in heaven. In Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21, we get a little glimpse of what's going on in heaven. It says, praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who are doing His bidding. They're following God's word. They're obeying His word, it says. Verse 21, praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. You see, when we truly understand who God is, we can't help but praise Him. We can't help but serve Him. We can't help but do His bidding. We can't help but obey His word, because we realize that's what we were made to do. That's who we were made to be. And so, we go from selfish to selfless. And we realize that it's all about God getting the glory, not only there, but also here, on this side of eternity. So we go from asking for God's will to be done to saying, would you meet my daily provision? We ask for food and things that we need in order to live. We're asking daily because it shows our dependence upon God. You remember, I've said it before, that what's the definition of humility? The best one I've ever heard by Andrew Murray. It's called being dependent upon God. That's humility. The opposite is being dependent upon ourselves, which is pride. And God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So He says what? Depend on me for your daily needs. But here's a phrase that you've heard in Scripture probably. You have not because you ask not. Why is it that the last place we run to when we have a difficulty in our lives is to God? Why is it the last thing we do is turn to prayer when things are going difficult? We'll call our mom up or our dad or our kids or whoever else, our neighbor or our best friend, a lot of times before we call God up. And by the way, I wrote this song a little while ago. It was in the middle of a difficult time. And I just, God was reminding me of how I was leaning on Him. And the line just says, God, I'm so glad you're closer than my phone. Because you don't even have to dial. You know? He's closer than our phones. He's right there. And He just loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear our hearts. You know, the prayer that you pray to God is exactly what He wants to hear. The lie of the evil one says, oh, don't pray because you won't get it right. Or that prayer you're praying, you know, that's not good enough for God. And those are all lies of the evil one. He just wants to hear our hearts. He just wants us to pray. Whatever's on our heart, just talk to Him at any time. He loves to hear from His children, just like you love to hear from your children or your grandchildren or whoever. In some cases, great-grandchildren. I won't point fingers. You know, God loves us, period. Amen? Now, the last part here is, he gets into this whole forgiveness thing. He says, forgive us our sin or our debts. He's not talking about credit card debt here. He's talking about sin, as we have forgiven others. It's a matter of our heart. And he's saying, hey, remember, you as someone who's following after my will as a Christ follower, you're not going to hold grudges towards those around you. And he reiterates that at the end of this passage. So he's saying, forgive us our sin as you've forgiven others. And then he says something very practical. He says, lead us not into temptation. Think about that phrase for a moment. When we pray, Lord, would you help me in the midst of my temptation? Or I don't want to go there anymore. What are we doing? We're acknowledging that we all have a problem. You see, all of us in this room, let's just come clean. We all are tempted by something. We've all given in to temptation. Usually, and again, I don't want to do stereotypes, but there's a huge portion of men in this room that have given in to, you know, lust of the flesh, pornography, whatever it might be. There's a huge portion of women in this room, or maybe listening on the radio, that are what? That have given in to food. You know, they thought food can be my friend, and therefore I'm going to make that first in my life. Now, in both cases, none of those things have ever satisfied us. Now, it could be other things. It could be shoes. It could be cars for us guys, or tools, or you name it. Whatever it is. And we put our hope in these things, or we're tempted to go buy this and think that we're going to satisfy that God-shaped vacuum that Pascal talked about with those things or whatever we're doing. We're tempted. It could be alcohol or drugs or whatever it is. But see, when we acknowledge we have a problem, we say, Lord, would you help me in the midst of my temptation? We're saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Would you protect me? Would you help me in the area of my sin? You see, He knows. That's what's amazing about His grace. He knows where we're easily tempted and where we stumble, and you know, the sin that so easily entangles us is what the Word says. He knows about that. And yet, by His grace, He still loves us. He loves us perfectly in the midst of our sin. The Bible says that what? That for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Why? Because He knew He'd free us up from that sin. He knew. He wanted us to be free. Now, the last part of this practical prayer is, he says, I want you to pray for deliverance from the evil one. You see, we all know that Satan's alive and well on this earth. And he's bent on destroying each one of us, especially if we're trying to follow after Christ. You've heard me say before that if you're hovering over the target, you're going to get shot at. And if you're following after Jesus Christ, the evil one's going to shoot at you as well. He's going to throw landmines or hand grenades in your path. He wants us to be in bondage. He wants us to get caught up in that sin that so easily entangles us. He wants us to get caught up in the things of this world. You know, if only I had this, then my life would be all fulfilled and satisfied. But again, remember, Jesus said clearly that you're more blessed when you what? When you give than when you receive. And you know what an appropriate time to be talking about this. Say, Lord, I want to give. You know, there was a lady recently who was on a bus. I guess it was over in Spokane. And she walked up to people. She handed them a Christmas card and she got off the bus. And there was a $50 bill in that Christmas card. And she did this over and over and over again. She gave away over $1,000, I guess. And I heard the interviews of some of these people, you know, they're saying, you have no idea, she has no idea who I am, but what difference this is going to make in our little Christmas. Just 50 bucks. But you know who's going to be more blessed than the people that got the money? The lady that gave the money. She understands the meaning of Christmas. It's not about money, but it's about giving. And Christ gave Himself. God gave us His Son to do what? So Christ could give Himself for you and I. That's why we give gifts. So when we understand that this prayer is a model for us, and that, yeah, you know, we have struggles in the midst of our day-to-day activity with temptation and the evil one, we can pray prayers of help, Lord. I can't do this by myself. Would you protect me from the evil one? Would you help me in the midst of my temptation? Now lastly, I want to close with this whole thought on forgiveness in prayer. He says this specifically in verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, when we forgive others, we're acting like Jesus. We're staying away from this judgment and this bitterness. It's so easy to judge others, isn't it? Especially when they treat us terribly. And in the world, we want to get even. We want to show our rights. How dare you treat me this way? And we get defensive and we get bitter. And then what happens? We fall into bondage. Our hearts start to shrivel up and shrink up. And they become hard. And God didn't make any of us that way. He made us to be what? To be men and women who forgive. See, it's like a poison through our system when we become bitter towards someone else. Just recently, I had another opportunity to practice this. 10 years ago, maybe, I would have let this person have it verbally and told them, you know, where they should go and all that kind of thing. Or maybe 20 years ago now. But by God's grace, I was able to listen and respond in love. But only by His grace. You see, I've been forgiven of all that I've ever said or done. And I have freedom in Christ. And when someone treats me the wrong way, and they don't treat me very kindly, I turn to prayer for them. Not in their face to rub it in or any way like that. No. I stop and I say, Lord, help me first of all to love this person. It's hard. And I say, Lord, would you help them understand your love and your forgiveness, and may they turn from their bitterness. You see, God wants us to have freedom in the midst of forgiveness. He wants us to learn how to live in love, not live in bondage. And see, it only happens when we understand that our sins are forgiven, that He's wiped away the debt, that as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, the Bible tells us. You see, this is what lack of forgiveness leads to. It leads to this dryness, this lack of love, this bitterness. Our sins will not be forgiven by God, it says, when we don't forgive one another. It's not the power that we have that we're supposed to go around like hearing people's sins and tell them they're forgiven. No, no. What it means here, and again, some people get caught up in this, it means that when someone sins against us, we're not going to count it against them. It means loving them enough to give them the benefit of the doubt and not judge them, but say, okay, Lord, you've forgiven me, I'm going to forgive them. Even after the last hour, someone came up to me and said, you have no idea how much this means to me right now because I'm in the midst of a difficult relationship. And some of you in this room are going to have a better Christmas because you're going to make a phone call, or you're going to write a letter, maybe because someone's already passed on that you never forgave for something they did to you or said to you or whatever. I want to encourage you, go home, write that letter. It'll be cleansing, it'll be healing. Maybe, like I said, maybe you need to drop by someone's house and just say, I've been a heel, or worse, and I've been wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Remember the three phrases when you're asking for forgiveness, when you've blown it, and you need to own something yourself? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Now again, it says as far as it depends upon you to be at peace with all people. And some of you are just have a broken heart because there's someone in your world where you have a broken relationship. But there's not much you can do other than pray, and you've done all you can. And that's okay. And that's what God asks us to do. But this lack of forgiveness can really lead to bondage. It also leads to our prayers not being heard. Look what David wrote in Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. He felt the conviction of God's Spirit here. He says, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Now here's the good news. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, it's all about taking hold of God's forgiveness by agreeing with Him that we color outside the lines. That we need His forgiveness. It's all about our hearts. And when we experience the freedom that He gives us through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of all of our sin, we can't help but want to forgive others and love them the same way. Now in closing, let me ask you a few questions. When you pray, is it for seeing God's will and plans fulfilled on this earth? Or for your own? You say, Lord, I want to see Your kingdom come. I want to be a kingdom builder, a kingdom player. Or is it for your own? How can we all increase our prayer, our dependence upon God, so that His will be done? You might just ask Him, Lord, I want to be someone who seeks after You. Would You allow me to have some time alone? You know, again, I just want to give you some practical tidbits here. You know, you need to do what? Go to bed earlier. You know, turn off the television and go to bed at 10 o'clock. Huh? Before the first news? I got to see the news. There's an internet. You can go on the internet and look at the news. Okay? Go to bed. Get some sleep. And then get up. You'd be surprised. If you went to bed at 10 o'clock, you'd be surprised how early you start waking up. Even before some of your kids. And then what? Spend some time with Him. Lord, thank You. You know, some of you saw the sunrise this morning. It was just absolutely beautiful. And He'll give you gifts like that, even in the, well, maybe not the middle of the summer because it's like 4 in the morning, but maybe. Those of you who drive to Boeing, you know. Secondly, when's the last time you asked God to help you with the things that you're tempted by? Now you're going, well, that's pretty simple. But yeah, but have you asked Him for help? Serious. When's the last time you told someone about the things that you're tempted by and asked them to pray with you and for you? See, we weren't meant to live life alone, folks. We just weren't. The evil one loves to separate us from the body of Christ and then beat us up. But the more we have fellowship, that's why it's so important to be in a small group. To where someone knows what you're struggling with and they know what you're going through. They know the joys that you have when you have a win. You know, some really impossible things happen that were just great to celebrate together. And the difficulties as well. When's the last time you asked for help against the evil one? Again, directly to God and then others help. And then lastly, where are you in this whole forgiving others concept that we're discussing this morning? Are you harboring any bitterness and or lack of forgiveness towards anyone right now? My prayer is that your heart's going to be open to God as you seek Him daily. Because He'll meet you right where you are. And He's going to fill you up with the Spirit and give you His perspective. Let's stand as we pray and as the band comes up and leads us in one last song. Heavenly Father, I again thank You for Your Word this morning. I thank You for how You love us just as we are, with our warts and all. That You don't give up on us. But I ask, Lord, right now that You give each one of us a protection from the evil one and from those things that easily tempt us, that we would say no to those temptations, that we'd have relationships in our world around us with other brothers and sisters in Christ that we can tell about You. And our dependence, our need for You in our lives. Thanks again, Father, for how much You care for us and for meeting us right here this morning. We love You, and we pray these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.